I just turned it on. Good morning, everyone. And today in your handouts, the title that stirred my heart today was Skillfully Hammered into Shape. And if you would just look at your handouts there, take it home for today, and you'll see the title there. Some of you maybe looked at it already, but this is so powerful and so true for each and every one of us. And let's look at some scriptures here today that I hope will be helpful for us. Once we surrender ourselves into God's hands, we accept, and we are accepting that authority, His discipline, His training, and His nurturing, we begin a lifelong process of being transformed into the glorious image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So don't get so impatient with yourselves at times and so frustrated with yourselves at times that you know, you just want to bail and not go through the process. The process is a lifelong process. And so God is not through with us. We come unto to that precious salvation through Jesus Christ, but the training is a lifelong process of becoming truly into the image of Jesus Christ. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, one of the favorite verses that I have recalled for so many years, it was on my business card when I was teaching at Chamberlain High School. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Or, in the King James Version, it says that He will direct thy paths. And so, that was a stirring to me, the word direct. And when I looked it up, it made a lot of sense to what we want to share here today. And the Hebrew meaning for direct, the meaning behind this, is to do good, to do right, to be straight, to make smooth, and to be evenly hammered. And that's from the base meaning of straightening out a crooked object. Wow. A lot of us have a lot of straightening out to do and to be done to us. When you take a person who is accustomed to and is very good and very professional at metalwork, I remember my uncle in Zanesville, Ohio, had a body shop. He had a waiting list of 3 or 4 months of people waiting for him to do work on their car. They trusted him. He was good. He had a name in a small town in Ohio. And I remember him, he did not use fiberglass. He only used lead. One of the few guys that was still using lead. Not necessarily good, what we know today and understand about lead, but it was good for body work. And I remember him tapping and tapping and tapping until he got it moved down and molded to a shape where he wanted. Then he worked with sanders and all these other things. But I can see a person that is using the hammer to smooth and shape and form a piece of metal, like tap, 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 tap. And our tools today are much more modernized and mechanized than what they used to have in times of long ago when metal was just being invented and using metal to make things. But I can see the metal worker, you know, just making swords and making things and implements and for mankind to use the iron in a way to help him even in tilling the land and weapons of warfare, just tap, 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 tap. Even sword making, Drew, I know there's a process of putting it in the fire and bringing it out and hammer, 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 put it back in and hammer, 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 layering and heating and cooling. And so can you feel the Lord in your life hammering away skillfully that which has to go, that which is rough, that which sometimes is still crass, that which sometimes is not representing Him, it's representing you. You have a free will. You always will have a free will to do and to choose what you want to say or what you want to do. Can you not hear the Lord and just picture the Lord just working away at you, making things that were rough into a smoother person. I can in my own personal life. The example today I gave you about Shirley and I talking a little bit this morning, there was a greater smoothness there and not a roughness there. There was looking to the Lord first before I reacted. And so don't picture hammering as abuse, because the Lord will not abuse us. He hammers to make the rough places smooth. It is a process, and it's going to take what? Time for the process to do its work. And so sometimes we're a little bit too impatient with the Lord. We want to take what? Shortcuts. We're going to share about that in just a moment, about the shortcuts. And so not a good idea, especially when God, who we have surrendered our lives to for His control, His authority, His discipline, His nurturing. Not a good idea to do it your way, but to surrender it to the Lord. And so my question today, are you practicing giving it to the Lord, allowing Him to hammer away the rough places to make it smoother? We have come to Jesus. In that last paragraph there, crooked and twisted and rough on the edges, we come lost in darkness without hope of eternal life, lost in this world. And there's a reference there in Psalm 51:5 about how lost we were. However, God, being rich in mercy, receives us through the sacrifice of Jesus and His shed blood, and patiently and skillfully hammers out the corruption and flesh so prevalent in our lives. Now, don't say it's not prevalent, because if you look, if you really think about this, there is a prevalent attitude so often in our lives that ought not to be there. In Galatians 5, it talks about the deeds of the flesh. It also talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So we want to practice the fruit of the Spirit, not the deeds of the flesh, but they're there. And so, Paul was saved, and this is very powerful and very simple to understand. Paul was saved, but he also said what? And he said it for a reason. I what?
Die.
I die daily. Why would Paul say that if he had arrived? He was mighty of the Lord, a great revelation. And because of the great revelation, God talks about a thorn in his side, lest he be what? Puffed up or proud. So there was a thorn there. A lot of people talk about what that thorn was. I'm not going to tell you today what I think that thorn was, because it's irrelevant. He had something in his life to keep him humble. Paul said, I die daily. And if we can't die in the everyday circumstances that we face, it's easy to die in church among your brethren. Easy to say I love you and everything seems to be okay. It's another thing to die when we go out that door and start that car up and start down that road and go to that location, and from there we go to that home, and from there we go to that work, and from that work we go here, we go there, and all of a sudden we come back again, and God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. And so, but we know there's been trials. I know there's trials in Mary's life, in the teaching world. Right now, I have an article in front of me. Changes drive teachers to retire. We have a teacher in our body here today, a teacher that wants to continue to teach. But the political structure is making it very, very difficult for a teacher with a godly conscience to stay within that system and to be accepted within that political system. Very, very difficult. Teachers are leaving, and what is very sad in our article in the Tampa Tribune today, it said, here's who's leaving in Hillsborough County. Here is the people that are leaving in Hillsborough County. We're talking about our lives in the real world, and this is what's happening in a teacher in our body's real world life. It says, it's not just teachers. It says, it's who you want your kids to be with, and they're saying enough. It's not just teachers leaving, but it's teachers that you want your kids to be with, and they're saying, enough. I've had it. And because of the retirement, the structure, restructuring retirement situations here in Florida, a lot of them are leaving. And by the numbers, 14 principals are leaving, 285 teachers are leaving, 27 media specialists are leaving, 50 paraprofessionals, 60 food service, 39 bus drivers, 47 custodians, and 14 day secretaries in Hillsborough County this fiscal year. And next year, they're already lined up. And so 285 this year, plus all these others, those are just teachers. Last year there was just about the same amount. And so it can be very frustrating. Mary, all I'm saying is, has to give this to the Lord where she is in the midst of these circumstances. What do I do, Lord? Take a shortcut and forget it all. No, don't forget it all until God says it's time for you to forget that pursuit of your life and pursue something else. A lot of the teachers are young. They're not ready to retire. But they're tired of what they're seeing in the political system. All I'm saying is now this is going to affect our world because these students are the future of America. And they're seeing this. All the FCAT and all this stuff going on is causing a lot of tension, not only in the students, but also in the teachers. Real world situation that you're facing, Mary, and may God help you and grant you great wisdom what to do and how to do it and how to live a life devoted to Jesus Christ in the classroom. I'm very concerned. And some of you have heard about what I'm talking about, right? You've seen these articles. Very, very new day for America of things that are happening because of politics, not for the better, but for the worse in our classrooms. I want to share something with you that has a lot to do with what I said today about skillfully being hammered into shape, and that's two verses in Exodus. If you would turn there, please, in Exodus 13. It has to do with God's people coming out of Egypt from bondage, from 400 years of bondage, coming out of Egypt, being delivered from bondage. But the message here in two verses, in verses 17 and 18 of chapter 13, has to do with, and everything to do with, God being their guide. You may not like the pathway that God may lead you on at times. You may not like, perhaps, His decisions for you in your life. You may kick against the pricks, so to speak. You may grumble. You may challenge God on His wisdom at times. But the message here is obedience in surrendering to His authority, His discipline, His training, and nurturing. Submitting to that will be greatly profitable for you, like it was the Israelites coming out of the wilderness. So just a couple scriptures here, and I want to share some things on that. And I hope it will be helpful for us here today to help you daily walking with Jesus. And so in verse 17 and verse 18 of Genesis 13, 17 says, "Now it came about when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, even though it was near, for God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and they return to Egypt." In verse 18, "Hence God led the people around by the way of the wilderness to the Red Sea. And the sons of Israel went up in martial array, or harnessed," the King James Version says, "from the land of Egypt." They were harnessed, they were ready, they were battle ready, and they were armed and suited, and they were stout, and they were ready to go forth. Well, anyhow, In verse 17, I want to share something with you and some comments that are so powerful from Matthew Henry about verses 17 and 18 that may be helpful for us here today. Moses, whether it be Moses, whether it be myself, whether it be Linda, whether it be Drew, whether it be Jenny, you may give direction, but the direction that we receive needs to come from the Lord, and you need to know that it's from the Lord. We may be guides, but our direction comes from the Lord. The way of man is not in himself, Jeremiah 10:23. He may devise his way and design it, but after all, it is God that directs his steps. It is God that directs his steps. And so, each and every day, if God directs your steps, even though it may not make sense to your mind what He's doing, or the direction or the path that He takes, because when you see the direction they could have taken, it would have taken 4 or 5 days to go to the southern part of Canaan. 4 or 5 days. But God had other plans, and you'll see why He took them to the wilderness. So sometimes God takes us, Mary, through trials that are tough, that are difficult, that are hard, even for our minds to understand. But He has a purpose in it for each and every one of us. Man purposes, but God disposes, and in His disposal, we must acquiesce. We must yield to God's purpose and God's plan. Yield to it, agree to it, and most importantly, in that agreement, obey it. And set ourselves to follow providence, God's provision. Not long ago, Cindy, you didn't know where you're going to go. But today you have a roof over your head. Tomorrow's another day. This is what walking is all about. This is what steps are all about, when God is providing. And our gratitude needs to go to Him. But quite often when God provides, then we say, we're already onto something else. What about this and what about that and what about this? We're already onto something else. We can't rest because what about? There were two ways from Egypt to Canaan. One was a shortcut. How many of you would have liked to take shortcuts along the way? And looking back now, you see that that wouldn't have worked. But shortcuts are easier. How many of you know about clipping courses? You can take, and it's okay to take, certain shortcuts if you know the material. And that's called clipping. You can take tests and you can clip English, or you can clip math, or and you can go on to something else, proving through a test that you know that, you understand that. But with the Lord, for the most part, we do not know more than what He knows, so you're not going to clip God. You're not going to clip God's providence. You're not going to say, I know that, so let's get it on down the road. The Lord says, well, just because of the way you're talking, we have a lot to learn. And that test will not be on paper. That test will be required of your life, your blood, your sweat, your tears. It'll require your brain to set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You cannot clip a life and fast forward it and bypassing the lessons that God has for you. It won't work. There was a shortcut. How many of you are aware of that? It would have taken only 4 or 5 days to go up the coast of the Mediterranean Sea out of North Egypt, to go along the coast up to Canaan, the Promised Land. Only 4 or 5 days. It wasn't that God sent them into the wilderness because they were rebellious and they're going to spend 40 years there. They didn't know that yet. But when they begin to rebel in the wilderness, then God said, okay, you want to do it your way, you're going to spend 40 years out here until that whole generation dies, and then the next generation with Joshua in the Promised Land. They, at first, there was not a plan for them to spend 40 years in that wilderness. But initially, they had to go there because it was a route that God wanted them to take. And that was for a reason. And so, by taking that route in the wilderness, it was God's way to hammer out problems, to prepare them, to get them ready. It was a way for God to move and work in their lives in a way that they had no clue of these things that were in them. But when it came out, God proved He knew what He was talking about. Shirley knows that there are still moments that need to be hammered out in my life. I believe she also knows that I am working on that and that I'm not going to run for anything away from God's smoothing process. I've said this before, I read it someplace, I don't know where, but I do remember it. And it says that the smelter is never far from the furnace when his work is in the fire. Let's just say I'm making swords and I've got it in the furnace. I'm not going to be far away because I know how long it needs to be in there. The smelter is never far from the furnace when his work is in the fire. So God is never far from our bleeding, crying hearts or our confusions or our doubts and our fears. He sees everything that's going on. He is the shepherd. We're the sheep. We need His care. He knows what we need. And today, I'm hoping that we're getting what we haven't got so often in the past. When we're victorious over trial, He rescues us. He does know better than us. He knows the way we should go, and there won't be shortcuts. Then it should behoove us to trust Him more the next time, the next trial, which will be what? Not very far away for each and every one of us. God had plans for them going into the desert by the Red Sea. How else was God going to drown the enemy unless He got them out there by the Red Sea? God had plans for this. And He also had plans way before all this, because they already told Pharaoh that we're going to go and let us go so that we can go into the wilderness 3 days and sacrifice to the Lord. They already told Him that. So they knew that's what God was going to do. Let us go so we can go into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord. How are you going to go in the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord unless you get into the wilderness to sacrifice to the Lord? Eventually they led all the way to Mount Sinai. In a process of finally getting to the promised land. They were to be humbled. They were to be proved. And God's going to humble us and God's going to prove us. Isn't it wonderful to know that we got a God that loves us so much He's going to hammer out the rough places and not just let us go on wandering aimlessly that way? Isn't it wonderful to know that God is not going to let us be stubborn just to do what we want to do? You know, right now, Adeline has done it on a few occasions, because all children will, and you did when you were small with your parents, as I did with my parents when I was small. Sometimes they have you by the hand. The parent has you by the hand, father, mother, or an authority over you. They have you by the hand. You're little. Let's just say you're 2 or 3. They do a lot of 2 or 3 or 4 year olds. You have them by the hand, and you're walking with them in a protective way where you should go. All of a sudden, you're looking at something, and all of a sudden, you don't want to be held anymore. So you what? You try to pull that hand away from that authority, from that one that is there to nurture and protect you. You try. You know what I'm talking about? Your children have done that. Adeline has done that with me. She wants to pull the little hand away, but I don't always give way to that because it's not time for her to be released from my protection and from my hand. So often we want to pull our hand away from God's path for us, God's direct. We want to pull our hand away from Him. Sometimes God won't let us, and sometimes God will let us to teach us a lesson. I don't want to do that anymore. School of hard knocks. Bang our head all we want. Eventually, we're going to have to come back and humble ourselves to do it His way. Do you see yourself doing that with the Lord? Let me go, let me go, let me go. And He will let you go to do and roam all you want. And sometimes He's so merciful that He intervenes and says, enough is enough. And that child who got loose from me, whether it be Allen or one of my own, I will go over there and I'll pick them up, and they'll be squirming, they'll arch their back. How many of you are back archers? You remember, I mean, when you get really serious with this, you start arching that back and you'll start whining and thriving and doing all kinds of stuff. But the back arching, that means you are dead serious. You don't want anything to do with being held. You want down. I see us doing that. I see us doing that. And the Lord wants us to relax. When Adeline relaxes against my neck, and when you hold her like this, it just melts you. It's so powerful to see them relax that way. And so it is with the Lord. He took them to the wilderness to fashion, to shape, and to mold them into a people, a nation for His own. There was no other way to do it but to take them to the wilderness. All who desire to live godly in this life will suffer, experience tribulation. Every single one of us. You are a target of the enemy. He has the world, but you're a target if you desire to do it God's way. And today, I just want us to realize just a few moments here, because we have a full plate here today of what we want to do in recognizing God for the launching of our website. There's much more here that I would like to continue at a later time. I'm just introducing us to the fact that it gets good even in the trials and the fire and the pain and the heat and the wars and all the stuff that we go through. If we remain faithful to Him, He will remain faithful to us, and we will be victorious in the end as we trust Him, as He wants us to. He led them about hundreds of miles away from a route they could have gone. He led them forth, though, by the right way, not the short way. Not the easy way. Not the way of least resistance. There was one reason why God did not lead them the nearest way, which would have brought them after a few days' march into the land of Philistines, for it was that part of Canaan that lay next to Egypt. Namely, because they were not as yet fit for war, much less for war with the Philistines. He didn't lead them the easy way toward the Philistines because what? Give me an answer. He didn't lead them toward the Philistines because they what? They were not ready. Basic training in the Air Force is basic training in the Air Force. Basic training with the Army is basic training. But there's much more training beyond basic training. Airborne, infantry, special forces, the SEALs that are so popular and well known now by a lot of people, paying more attention to them and maybe interested, a lot of young men interested in the SEALs these days because of the mission that they were successful on in taking out bin Laden. There's a lot of training to be done. There's a lot of training for the church also in the day that we're living. And I pray that we will not challenge God on His decisions for how He wants to train us, but it won't be the easy way. It'll be the way that goes through the wilderness where things are tough and where things are hard that we may be able to be trained for warfare. They were not ready for warfare to go into Canaan 4 or 5 days. It's over. Out of Egypt into Canaan. Out of Egypt into Canaan. It's a lifelong process. May you be greatly successful on your journey as you learn to trust God in your wilderness journey, so to speak, on this earth. All of us, uniquely, individually, a personality, every single one of us have uniqueness to us and trials that we face. It's not that that's a big deal. The big deal is, are you trusting God each day as you look to Him to help you where you are to be successful? You can be if you look to Jesus Christ, whoever lives to make intercession for you and I. Praise the Lord. You and me, I think, teacher, would be more correct. I'm looking at my teacher now. May God bless you as we look to the Lord. And I'll continue to share on this wilderness journey. And hopefully we'll be applying these principles in our daily life to be more successful. At this time, we're going to have a session on the our internet and give us a little education on our internet, what's going on, some testimonies concerning our recently launched internet here at Great Hope Christian Fellowship.